Hello, everyone, and welcome to So What Happens Next, Spooky Halloween Countdown. I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
And I am Amber.
And this week we have an incredibly spooky film. At least we hope so. It's The Lighthouse. Psyched for Halloween.
Yeah, very psyched. I have the spooky feels, so to speak.
Yeah, same here. With all this thunder and laughing, you'd think it was Halloween already.
I know.
But for us, it's not quite yet. I think at this point, we have about a couple weeks before Halloween really starts falling upon us. And we are starting things off on our two-week Halloween countdown with The Lighthouse. So, Amber, you have never seen The Lighthouse before, is that right?
No, I have not.
I have not either. I've had a lot of friends, and if you guys are listening right now, thanks. Also, thank you for recommending this. Tons of people have been recommending The Lighthouse really since it came out, which was in 2019. So, you know, a lot of people were like, oh my God, do The Lighthouse, it's so good. And it wasn't like we were avoiding doing this movie. I mean, like, at no point was I like, I don't want to watch it. And then I kind of thought about it, and I was like, oh, you know what? The Lighthouse would be a good movie for us to do. And Amber, you were like, yeah, let's do it. And then it was like, well, we decided that it was like maybe July. And it was like, well, you know, Halloween's kind of somewhat in the future. So, like, why don't we just wait for Halloween to come around? And lo and behold, here we are with The Lighthouse. And, you know, it finally came to fruition. But straight out the gate, Amber, do you have any, like, preconceptions about this movie at all before I get into the five things?
Not really.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, then let's just jump into it, shall we?
Yeah.
The five spooky things. Concerning The Lighthouse, this week, I have them up on the board, as usual. They are that the movie is, some of these are kind of like doubles a little bit, because I felt like they lended to each other. First one, the movie's in black and white. And not just in black and white, but in that old school square kind of aspect ratio. So you're going to get like the black bars on the side of the screen. You know, like when you watch them from even like the 90s, where you have everything's kind of squished and you're like, why doesn't it take up my whole TV? And it's like, well, back in the day, TVs were more square. So it's got that going on. So that's like the aesthetic that we're kind of looking at. The movie seems to center on two characters, and seems to only have four actual characters total in this whole movie. So there's only really like four people in it. The third one is that this was originally intended to be kind of a spin on an Edgar Allan Poe story. I didn't know that. I thought that was kind of crazy. Number four is that it stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, and those are kind of our two main focus characters here. And the fifth one is that this movie seems to involve a lot of like sailor kind of mythology type stuff. So, you know, sea monsters, mermaids, whatever sailors are doing. With all those in mind, Amber, what do you got for this movie? What do you think's going to happen?
I think you're going to have like Willem Dafoe, who is basically the lighthouse keeper, or I don't know if that's the correct term for it, but basically keeper of the lighthouse. And he's, you know, kind of getting old, and basically ready to turn over a new leaf. And so he's going to have someone that's younger kind of take his place, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of showing him the ropes of everything. And during that time, because it's a pretty solitary, like, job, I feel like, to where you don't get a lot of interaction with people and stuff like that. Like, you're basically just there to make sure that, like, ships don't crash, right?
Yeah.
So
make sure the thing's on.
So yeah.
See it. Yeah.
But I think, like, it's not just a normal, like, Like, I feel like Willem Dafoe's probably a little bit crazy, and that's where things go kind of sideways, is just having, like, two people, like, in, like, basically solitary confinement, like, away from everyone else, away from, like, right. probably the nearest town. They just go insane, basically. And that's where maybe they're hallucinating on, like, the sailor mythology, like you mm-hmm. pointed out. So they start seeing shit, like, monsters, possibly sirens and things like right. that. And I guess I think maybe one of them dies at the end, probably.
Okay. Yeah, I could see. I'm kind of on the same sort of deal. So what you're saying is that you think this is sort of Robert Pattinson coming to take over for Willem Dafoe. Yeah. And Willem Dafoe's a little far gone from yeah. being able to detach from mm-hmm. society for so long.
Probably because, yeah, again, he's detached from society, and like there has probably been nobody there for like a really long time.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking kind of in that same vein. I think it's a little bit more, you know, Robert Pattinson is sort of the, I don't have any other place to go, I need a job. And, like, one of the four characters is the person that's, like, hires him. It's like, I own the lighthouse. Willem Dafoe's been there working for me, but this guy's getting on. He's been there way too long. Mm-hmm. People aren't supposed to be there that long. So, you know, he knows he's getting fired.
Yeah, and maybe he just gets a little too serious with it. Like, to the point where the things he does are, like, questionable.
Yeah, I think Willem Dafoe is, like, supposed to teach him how to do the jobs he could take over. And like Robert Pattinson's going in here kind of just like, this is a job, who cares? Like, I need a place to live, and this job will pay whatever other money I need. And I think as it goes on, it's kind of this like slow descent into madness type thing. And I wouldn't be surprised if you have something in the beginning where Willem Dafoe's like, oh, I saw a mermaid yeah. once or something like that. And Robert Pattinson's like, okay, man, sure. And like at the end, like as it goes on, he thinks it's real and there, and like is doing shit ultimately to try to stop Robert Pattinson from like, you know, taking his job, because if he takes it, then he'll hurt the mermaid or something. Like, it's just him going crazy. Yeah. And then it becomes like Robert Pattinson trying to defend himself from Willem Dafoe, while Willem Dafoe is like steadily going nuts. That, or they both kind of do the whole, like in The Thing, they're like, you're gonna kill me because you're the crazy
yeah,
one.
They end up blowing up the lighthouse. Right.
They just blow the lighthouse up with like whatever
it yeah,
is.
To take down like a monster or something like that. I don't know.
But, well, yeah, I think it's, I think it's one of those.
And then they're kind of left like,
I think it's more one of those, like, they want to kill each other. Less than a
month. Yeah,
I wouldn't
that's
be surprised
what I'm
if,
thinking,
like,
too.
If, like, the mythological thing is, you know, a mermaid or siren or something, like,
yeah.
in their minds manipulating them to kill the other one or something like that. And that we get at the end, yeah, they blow the lighthouse up or something, to, and it kills them both. But it's like, I got you. You're not going to take her away from me. And done with the fucking lighthouse. But from what I've heard from people, this movie's great and scary, I guess, enough in its thriller aspect to mm-hmm. keep you kind of engaged, which is nice to hear. What do you think of the Edgar Allan Poe kind of aspect? Like, do you think that's going to add anything to this movie in sort of a feel kind of, I guess, like, to me, Edgar Allan Poe has this kind of very specific feel to his stories. And
yeah, there's always like a lesson of like greed or like sorrow mm-hmm. or something along those lines, and I just feel like it's going to end tragically. That's how his poems yeah. always, they're always ending tragically.
Yeah.
So I feel like someone's definitely gonna die, if not both. But I'm not too like well aware of like any of his poems, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I've heard of him and stuff, and I feel like a long time ago I did read some of his poems, but like I don't right. remember any of them.
Yeah, to me, Edgar Allan Poe's always had a very specific kind of vibe to mm-hmm. him, to where, like, you're absolutely right. Always ending in tragedy, like, very little
yeah.
good stuff.
Yeah, and I
happens.
Feel like his deal is, like, with women, right?
Yeah, if I recall, Edgar Allan Poe had kind of a, he lost most of the women in his life were lost
yeah.
to, like, tuberculosis, so there's a lot of that kind of love and loss imagery in his work, and if
but,
possible
yeah.
that bleeding, dying kind of mm-hmm. thing. Like Mask of the Red Death is a good example.
I don't know,
of that.
Maybe it's not right, but I'm thinking of like how the woman is kind of like the man's downfall.
It's more you from the ones I've read, if a woman's involved, it's sort of an after the fact thing. Like,
okay,
like the Raven is like a man, you know, longing for this woman to come back, kind of type.
Yeah.
Sort of. That's what he's saying. He's like, mm-hmm. he misses his wife because she died or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, just his life and all that other stuff adds to the fact where it's like, oh, usually if there's a woman involved, she's already dead, and it's just kind of the precursor drive to get the main character to do something. Or it involves kind of illness. Like, again, Mask of the Red Death, it's just like, it's tuberculosis, surprise, like, you know, and everyone's bleeding out their eyeballs and stuff, so they're dead, whatever, coughing up blood. So for this, though, I'm kind of wondering how that's going to play in here, because to me, I've always felt like his stories were very, like, there's a very clear feeling mm-hmm. that I think he provides. And I'd be kind of excited, because if this is as good as everybody's saying, then I'm wondering if they really captured that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I've ever really seen that captured quite so well on screen. I mean, you have playoffs of, like, the Cask of Amontillado, where they, like, brick up the guy behind, you know, the wall.
Yeah.
And, so many things ape that, from TV to movies
mm-hmm.
to other books. But it never quite captures it just right. It's just like, we locked him behind a wall. It's like, yeah, but that's not the point. Like, there's more to the story than that. So I'm really curious how this is going to go. I think Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe are going to kill it.
I mean,
I just have a feeling that this is going to be just a bombastic performance from both of them. And I'm kind of excited to watch Willem Dafoe go full crazy. Because, you know, Green Goblin and Spider-Man just wasn't enough. Like, there's a line you didn't quite cross there, and I think we can get that in this movie. But with all that being said, if you guys just give us a few seconds of your time so that we can go and spend an hour and 49 minutes of our time. This isn't that long. Actually, I was kind of worried this movie was going to be, like, way longer. Like, over 2 hours. I was a little concerned about that. But if you guys just give us a few seconds of your time, we are going to go ahead and go and watch the nightmarish tale that is The Lighthouse. There was a lot more farting in that one than I thought there would be.
Yeah, I almost thought there was something wrong with Willem Dafoe. Like,
yeah.
I have gastrointestinal disease.
So without further ado, we are back. We just watched The Lighthouse, as I'm sure you're all aware, as it was only a few seconds for you, and it was like an hour, a little over an hour and a half for us. So yeah, I guess let's continue to dive into the farting and fapping filled movie. Now, I want to preface here saying...
FF.
Exactly, FF over here. It's a farting, fapping fantasy of a film. So I expected a little bit of these things, right? You got two dudes stuck on an island in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Jerking it is coming up. Like, it's gonna come up, at least in conversation, or there's gotta be, like, an awkward play where, like, someone catches someone else doing it. But, man, there was a lot more than I thought there was gonna be in this movie. Like,
yeah.
A lot more of that, and there was a lot, like, well, you know, let's just get into the whole thing. So, our five things originally for this film were that it's in black and white and has a square aspect ratio, which it totally does. It centers on two characters, four characters total, though we'll come back to that one in a minute, because
yeah.
I would still argue there's only two. It's originally a spin on an Edgar Allan Poe story. It stars Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, and it involves a lot of sailor mythology. Now, some of these, obviously, we can kind of strip away here and just, like, go, yeah, of course, Willem Dafoe, Robert Pattinson in this movie. It's not like a guess or anything like that. But we could talk about some of these on here, like, straight up, the centers on two characters. I think it really, the four characters total can be dropped.
Yeah.
Like, it really doesn't center on the other two characters being the mermaid and the foreman, I think it was.
Yeah.
Who are in there just almost as set pieces of people as opposed to actually characters.
They're not characters.
Like, they do a great job with what the little they do, but it's like, you know, they're not really characters in this. It's pretty much Pattinson and Dafoe. It does involve sailor mythology, I guess, though. Like, a lot more than, I guess, I thought it was going to kind of lean into one thing, and it sort of seems to be almost all over the place here.
Like, it is. We're it's like not just sailor mythology, it's like Greek mythology, and then I feel like some other type of stuff that I didn't necessarily recognize.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just Greek mythology, actually. But I guess it depends on how you interpret it, right?
Yeah, I guess so, because it's kind of, I feel like sailor mythology sort of co-opts that Greek bit, right? Like with Neptune, or not Neptune.
Triton. Yeah.
I guess Greek-Roman mythology stuff. Yeah. You could argue they're all the same in that case, but you got like Neptune and Poseidon and all that kind of like being pulled into sailor mythology of that time, right? Like, mm-hmm. we are dealing with them almost as if they're like an extension of sailor myths. Look at Pirates of the Caribbean, right? Like, we're talking about, like, what is it? Like, the fifth movie talks about, like, the Trident of Poseidon or of Triton or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like just treating it in no way, shape, or form as Greek other than a name. It's just sort of this
thing. Yeah,
it just
encompasses, like...
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this movie does that, too. It's like, oh, we have fucking mermaids and fucking Triton. That scene
not even mermaids, but just, like, sirens, I guess. And then...
Yeah, it's a strange movie. So,
and then like the thing with the seabirds and stuff. But again, there's a lot to cover.
We'll move into it as best we can. So we started out coming back into this talking about farts. It sounds juvenile. It sounds like we're kind of taking a stab at a juvenile joke here. But I have to say, and in all as much seriousness as I can muster, the farting in this movie is perfect. It's the weird, it's a phrase I never thought I'd ever say about anything, let alone a film. The farting in this movie, it's on another level. It's like, it's, you're watching this movie, which essentially, I guess, Amber, chime in if I get anything or miss anything here. This movie is more about Robert Pattinson's character coming to this island to work with Willem Dafoe. Both of them as lighthouse keepers. Robert Pattinson is kind of his like subordinate assistant. I think Dafoe calls him a second or something like that. And you have Willem Dafoe, who's this sailor guy who is really obsessed with that culture, that mythology, everything that you think of.
Yeah, he calls himself like a, not a wiki, but...
Yeah, he calls himself a wiki.
Oh, okay, that's what it was then. Okay.
But he talks about how he used to sail, and he was gone a bunch of Christmases and lost. It's very, like, you think your traditional 1800s sailor type, like, out of a, you know, out of a novel or something like that. And he's very much that. He lost his wife because he's in love with the sea, and I'm talking like this all the time, boyo, and da-da-da. And he uses all the nomenclature, even though it's not really applicable. And Robert Pattinson comes in, and he's just kind of like this dude from the East Coast of the United States, used to work in logging, and now he came here because he needed a job. And it's a little bit more elaborate than that. It turns out that Robert Pattinson, like, let a guy die, and then just kind of, like, took his identity and ran with it.
Yeah.
Which I really feel like is not... And listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's not that easy, even in the 1890s, to just be like, well, he's dead, I guess I'm him now, and just like walk away, and if someone asks your name, say, I'm different name here, and people go, okay, whatever, you don't need to prove it, you don't need, I feel like passports and things were a thing, like if you go to another country and they say, what's your name, and I say, whatever, Ephraim, whatever, Winslow, that thing is his starting name, fake name, they go, okay, can I see your passport, please?
I don't think they had passports.
They totally
though.
Had
they?
Something, right? Passports aren't new.
Yeah, but I don't think they relied that much on it, so to me, it didn't seem far-fetched, especially for a job as remote as this. I don't think they did any, like, background checks.
Oh, I agree on that. I think for something like this, it's very, like, whatever, who cares?
So, if anything, he just got lucky, maybe, because he applied for a position where they're going to take whomever at this point, because being a lightkeeper is hard.
Right.
Like, you spend months, like, in a remote location, and you don't, Like, unless there's a little town nearby, like, you don't see anything.
Yeah, and this is super
remote. And you're kind of on your own.
This is arguably a strange, like, it makes sense in my head, but also doesn't. Because it's, like, a little rock island that I guess you wouldn't want to hit with a boat, right? So let's put a lighthouse on it. And I just kind of look at it, and I'm like, I don't know. Maybe just don't sail there if you can help it.
Exactly. Like,
I know they didn't have GPS. I know sailing is probably much more intricate than, you know, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, just don't go that way. Like, take the wide shot around if you have to. Like, oh, there's a bunch of rocks here, so we got to put lighthouses on all of them. It's like, well, maybe just don't go that way. Like, if it's safer and you're going to get paid, then go the other way as opposed to, like, risking it here. But no, they work in this middle of nowhere rock. And the movie kind of gets really trippy because basically it's Robert Pattinson, who's more or less kind of like a normal guy, getting shat on by Willem Dafoe as if he's on a ship and, like, is this cabin boy and Willem Dafoe is the captain. Like, he's really shitting on him. And it's constantly like, it's bad luck to do this boy, it's bad luck to do that boy, and all this other kind of stuff from Willem Dafoe, who I have to say does a fucking amazing job in this role. Like, both of them are great. They really both do an amazing job. But, like, I just love pirate Willem Dafoe, and I kind of want more of it. Like, I really want, like, it kind of makes me wish, like, what, that god-awful fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie with Blackbeard. Now, like, the guy who plays Blackbeard does a great job, but, like, different take Willem Dafoe's Blackbeard, and just, like, that evil pirate. I feel like he would have nailed it just based on this. But yeah, so Robert Pattinson, just, he can't fucking stand Willem Dafoe. And what, to go back to my original point about the farting, is the first sound I think you hear either of them make is a fart.
Yeah.
And it's Willem Dafoe who keeps doing it. And it's just, like, it's so perfectly timed, because it's every time Robert Pattinson is like, I'm so fucking fed up with this, I'm so sick of this. And it's like, you know,
I'm frustrated. Yeah, or, like, Willem Dafoe tells him to do something and then he lets out a fart.
Exactly. It's just like, it's like, I go swab the decks again and do it another 10 times until it's clean.
Yeah, and especially, like when it's, like, a little bit serious,
right?
Or where they're at each other's throats, and then you have that little comedic, like,
I can't believe we're spending this much time talking about farting, but it's so true, because it
is a very, like,
it's that twist of the knife intense into him. It's like, it's like, I'm already fed up with this. Oh, and you're also fucking disgusting to boot. And it's like, I never thought a day would come where flatulence was used in such a way to where it wasn't comedic effect necessarily. I mean, it is kind of funny, but it's like, it's not comedic effect. It's intended to be just that little bit more that kind of pushes you over the edge, just like it's pushing Robert Pattinson over the edge. Like, he's a dick and he's gross about being a dick. And it's like, I feel like papers could be written about the farting in this movie alone, which is wild. It's amazing. But yeah, so the farting, along with all the other shit, for, if you excuse the pun, Robert Pattinson's kind of just, like, steadily losing it. And he finds, like, a little mermaid statuette in a glory hole, in a mattress?
Yeah.
Something like that. There's a lot of jerking it in this movie. Okay, guys, like, we weren't lying when we said there's more than you, like, you expect some in a horror movie,
but there's a lot,
and it's a little weird. Like, it's not that it's like, oh, of course they're jerking it on an island, two dudes stuck there for like a month. It's like, sure, fine, whatever, you do you, you know. But they do it a lot more than just like one off, here's a joke, we're done. Like, I think Robert Pattinson, like, is looking in a hole in the roof and he sees Willem Dafoe fucking a mattress. Then he's jerking in the shed. The Willem Dafoe is jerking in the lighthouse thing. And all of a sudden it becomes like a tentacle porn in his head. Like, I think that scene, which is really weird, is like the kind of funky pivotal scene where this whole movie kind of takes the somewhat horror-esque turn.
Yeah, because at first when he gets there, it's just, you know, your typical like, oh, I'm the subordinate.
But he's not allowed to go in the lighthouse. Like, the big thing is he's not allowed to go where the light is. And then he kind of
questions, like, what happened with the last lightkeeper or second, I guess. And Willem Dafoe is like, oh, he went crazy because he starts seeing basically what Robert Pattinson sees like throughout the movie, which is like all these monster, like mythical monsters and like mermaids and shit.
Right.
So it definitely does take quite a turn when he, again, it's like the whole Prometheus thing where Prometheus is like, oh, I want to see the fire or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, and that's like the turning point, at least for me in the film, is when he goes to see it and he sees like the tentacles and shit. Yeah. And he like, he's never quite the same after that.
No, because, so let's take a step back for a minute. Amber, do you consider this movie, because this is something I was kind of struggling with after, and I feel, we'll talk about my opinion on it in a minute. Do you feel like this is a quote-unquote horror movie?
I don't think it's a horror movie. I think it's like a psychological movie.
Okay.
It's definitely a drama.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't consider it horror. It is like creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of creepy stuff that like happens or whatever, but I don't think there was ever a point where I was like, wow, this is really like frightening or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was just like creepy and kind of like...
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, I guess... If you feel like you want an apology, here it is. If you don't, then hit the little 10-second skip thing. Apologies, I guess, for doing this for under the guise of it being a spooky countdown to Halloween.
I mean, again, it is creepy, so it does have those spooky feels if you
want.
Oh,
yeah.
But if you're looking for, like, oh, like, we are just... You know,
right.
Like
gut wrenching horror,
slashing. Kind of yeah.
Well, and that's the thing that was weird about this movie.
You're not going to get that.
Is it's very like, because I feel like horrors.
But again, that's like this film was produced by A24.
Yeah, and that's kind of their thing, right? Is like they kind of have that. And I think to compare this to another movie that we've done and that is always lauded, though we don't quite understand why, Hereditary.
And Midsommar.
And Midsommar is good. I like Midsommar. But to say, like, my comparison here is, like, with Hereditary, it's always like, oh, this drama thriller combined with this horror supernatural. And I'm just kind of like, to me, it always felt like it couldn't be decide which one it was. Like, it was doing one for one part, and then it decided to switch and do the supernatural thing kind of in, like, the third act while we spent the first two acts doing a drama with, like, hints of horror. This movie, I feel like, blended thriller and kind of horror perfectly together, because we're dealing with like things that are scary, like when Pattinson, we kind of see Pattinson's daily routine, which is mostly involving him like dealing with these seagulls, one of which he kills in the most brutal of fashions. My god, like Dafoe tells, the long and short of it is Dafoe tells him it's bad luck to fuck with seagulls, and this one-eyed seagull basically keeps picking on Robert Pattinson, and he keeps trying to get rid of it. It doesn't do it. It's like, it rips his pants once, it blocks his way once, and it won't just shoo. And it eventually, it's like sitting there. I think a seagull dies in the water cistern.
Yeah.
And it fucks all their water up. And he's pissed, and he's staring at the seagull, and then this one-eyed seagull lands on top of the cistern, and it's almost like, which is a great shot. It's like it's laughing at him. And Pattinson just loses it and grabs the seagull and just starts smashing the fucking thing against the cistern. And I am like, wow. Like, you think, you know, this movie's he's gonna grab it, he's just gonna like crush its neck or something. Still fucked up, but like not as brutal as what you see. And it's a shot of him doing it. There's no shadow, there's no like hard cut in the mid swing. It's like you just watch him beat the shit out of this seagull, and then he immediately is like, whoops.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the bad luck starts going, and it moves on to some stuff later. But these elements, like when you see Willem Dafoe as Triton, like all dressed up in like the barnacles and shit, and when he meets the it was terrifying when he sees the fucking mermaid for the first time, and she just starts screaming at him. It's like, whoa, like it's chilling. And I feel like this movie takes those, like the fact that he's going crazy and seeing this shit, and the fact that these things are inherently scary, but there's not necessarily like a blatant supernatural element combining the two. It's sort of just like him going nuts and these things that are scary he sees. It blends them really well. And I think to your point, when you mentioned Midsommar earlier, I think Midsommar kind of does that pretty okay too, is like, it's long and it has beautiful shots, and I think it could be shortened personally, but kind of going through the scary cult shit combined with sort of that, like, she's dealing with the, like, mass suicide of her family, or murder-suicide of her family, I guess. And then also the fact that, like, her boyfriend kind of was going to break up with her, and she's on this trip she didn't want to be on. Like, you're dealing with, like, the psychological elements and the scary ones pretty yeah. good, too. I think this blends them better.
Yeah.
But if I were to compare kind of that, those handful of A24 horror movies I've seen recently, this one's definitely doing that blending perfectly. And it's, I don't want to call it a horror movie, but it definitely has horror elements, because it's not quite a thriller, but it's not quite a horror. And I really don't know where to put this movie. Like, yeah. it's so interesting, like, the way they pulled it off.
Really no term for it besides, like,
it's a movie like The Lighthouse. Yeah, it's like yeah. a psychological thriller.
And that in scary. Of itself is like the horror aspect right. of it.
But you also get this, the creepy monsters, like the tentacles and shit. And yeah, I mean, you get these exactly. crazy shots. It's just like, it's like, imagine riding through the scary tunnel in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That's right.
Like a whole movie. And it's in black and white. there's like a montage or something where he's like fucking the mermaid mm-hmm. and then he's fucking himself.
Because the music really does oh. help too. I don't know if you noticed that. But the music like really every time like something was about to happen, like the music would pump up.
Agreed. And it's so subtle. Like this movie had such a cool, subtle way of being like, because there were so many times in the notes where I wanted
most of the
to be
time
like,
it
there's
was
no
like
music.
Silent. Yeah, but there's
it's,
no
it's
music.
Not. Oh, it's not. Because okay. I kept thinking that too. And I almost wanted to write in my notes like, oh, there's no music here. This is, you know, we've seen this before, yeah. but it's using it really well. And then I like would go to write it and I'd stop and be like, oh, wait, no, there is music. Like it's just really low. And it's in the background. And the only, it was funny because like the only reason you notice there's no music is because you notice the music stop so that they could talk and then it would start again.
Gotcha.
And it was
along with
really
the foghorn, which I was
great.
Like,
I
dang, that must horn. Be so annoying just like listening to that constantly.
I swear, there's got to
really
be
added,
a point. There's got to be a point to it. Like, yeah. I feel like every time the foghorn blows, something had to have happened or was going to happen next. Like, just because of the way it does it. Maybe this is a rewatch then sometime in the future just to pay attention to like, okay, when the foghorn blows, does something creepy happen? Is it like to signal he's dreaming? Yeah. Like, what's up? And it's just, it's a really interesting movie. And essentially, Pattinson goes crazy. And it's sort of, they show you that descent into madness, sort of how he's like, him and Defoe get drunk a lot, and then
yeah.
you can see them both.
And it's not yeah. only just questioning like Robert Pattinson, but also questioning Willem Dafoe, because yeah. he'll tell him it's been like months. Like, so basically towards the middle of the movie, Robert Pattinson is supposed to go home. Mm-hmm. So he's like done his shift. He's done. The boat never comes. And Robert Pattinson, from his point of view, thinks it's only been like a week. But in reality, like Willem Dafoe says, it's been months or yeah, it's been almost a month or so. And he's like, we need to ration our food. We're running out of food because it got, I don't know why you put the fucking storage, by the way, near the water.
Right,
why would
like, all
you
the food
put
got
it?
Wet.
Yeah. Or no, it got, the water rose. They were having all of those tides come in because of that bad storm, you know, the calm before the storm or whatever. But I don't know why you would have put it, if you know the water's going to rise at some point, you want to have the storage probably more inland, mm-hmm. is my understanding. But again, I'm not like a sailor or anything. But you don't know who's telling the truth.
Right, because Defoe says, because Pattinson's like, it's only been a day. And Defoe is like, it's been weeks. And he's like, what? And he's like, you keep like walking around here talking about taking the boat out. It's been weeks.
But he says it in a way to where he's taunting him. When he says yeah. it, and that to me was like, I don't think he's telling the truth.
Well, and that's where you don't really know who's telling the truth or not, and you really never find out.
No.
The interesting thing that I noticed in this was, are they both crazy or what? Because the whole argument was that Pattinson and Defoe got drunk and overslept and missed the boat. But like, it kind of doesn't really make sense, right? Like, you overslept by what, days? Because you were drunk? I mean, I've been pretty drunk before. I don't think I've ever slept that long.
Yeah.
And then,
and the boat didn't come in the morning. It came, or it was supposed to, or did, was it supposed to come in the morning?
I mean, I assume they never
because
really
said.
Because
when they went out, it was night. And I was just like, that's a little odd, but.
Well, and also the other thing too, is that's like, why did no one get them up? Like, is it really set up to be like, oh, I guess they don't want to come when you're supposed to bring them supplies and rations and shit? It doesn't really make any sense to be like, oh, they're not here. Guess they're either A, dead or don't want this stuff. Let's go home. Like, I don't feel like people would do that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like and you just don't do that.
That kind of brings the question of whether it's been longer than they say it has been or it's been shorter. Like and days. I think it might have been shorter.
I think it's only been like a week because yeah. of the first. So this movie's kind of split up, you know, in almost your three kind of four act structure here is you have your beginning where it's just Robert Pattinson shows up. They establish it's going to be like 4 weeks of him being there. They establish their characters and they kind of go about their daily routine. And by about like half an hour into this movie, they're like, you're going home tomorrow. And it's like, huh, that was quick.
Yeah.
And like the rest of this movie is the results of him not actually getting to leave. So like he was going to go home and then they missed the boat, whether by days or weeks or whatever. And it's them just stuck on the island. So it's them having to like ration food and them getting like sick and tired of each other and all this other stuff. And I think, you know, they tried to establish that it's only been like an extra week of dealing with this. And it's, you know, they're going nuts to the point where, just to put a bow on it, Pattinson kills Defoe in a couple ways. Like he beats, it's a really like wild scene is they keep fighting, they keep escalating. Finally, Pattinson snaps and just starts beating the shit out of Willem Dafoe because he finds Willem Dafoe's ledger.
And yeah, Dafoe's which been it doesn't him, show you what was written on their ledger.
No, but he reads it. And so the whole thing was that Dafoe keeps making him drink, keeps making him do all this shit on the island only to like write him up in the ledger like, oh, he's drunk again, oh, he's doing this again, he's shitty, I suggest that this guy doesn't get paid. Mm-hmm. And Pattinson like gets fucking pissed. He's like, what the fuck, you know, he's like, I've been working my ass off here and you think I shouldn't get paid, like what the fuck's wrong with you? And Defoe is like trying to kind of not like not talk his way out of it, but almost like talk to him like what he's reading isn't real. And it just kind of escalates to a fight, like a physical fight, and Pattinson like beats the ever-loving crap out of Willem Dafoe, beats him with an inch of his life. Dafoe is like, you're killing me, and he stops, and then he like literally treats him like a dog, like he's mm-hmm. like, bark dog bark, and it's kind of like Pattinson's like, I am the captain now, and it's like he like even makes him crawl on all fours out to where they dug up this big ration of alcohol in front of the lighthouse. And the chuck, he like throws him in or makes him get in, and he's basically burying him alive. And he takes the keys to the lighthouse to finally get up in there, and he walks away, goes into the house to do something, and Defoe is like, I'm gonna kill you, and he like swings an axe at him, which barely cuts his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he just kind of looks at him, kicks him down, takes the axe, and just finishes Defoe off. Defoe is like dead.
Yeah, which I don't think you want to go against someone who is a lumber.
Right. This guy was like a lumberjack. Yeah. Like we established later that Pattinson lied about who he was.
Exactly.
That he had his different. His actual name is like Tommy something or other.
Yeah.
And that he watched his old foreman die because his old foreman was like Defoe mm-hmm. and kept pushing him.
Yeah.
And he gets stuck under like a clog of logs in the river and gets crushed to death. And Pattinson just kind of watches it happen because he wanted to kill him. He was standing behind him holding like the lumber hook to kill him with, but he decided not to. And then he just kind of like takes his shit and takes on his identity and leaves. Which brings up the other interesting things is kind of like, is this hell? Like, is this like his own, is this, did he ever leave the woods?
It would seem likely, you know, at the end, right?
And, but yeah, so he gets the keys, he goes up, and you get this really amazing scene with the distorted sounds and shit.
Yeah. Where he's staring. It actually kind of reminded me of Annihilation, you know, when Natalie Portman is looking into, like, as mm-hmm. he's looking into the light, it's like a bunch of other movies where they're looking into something and we viewers don't see what it is, which but they obviously, do. Yeah, but they do.
Think like the entirety of Bird Box.
Yeah, exactly. but I thought that part was really cool because the light itself was, it just, the way like Willem Dafoe described it throughout the whole movie, it's something that's like unattainable, that's all knowing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like
divine.
Some of us,
it's in and divine, of itself divine, and it's sort of like I'm charged with protecting this divine thing.
Exactly, because it's precious or, you know, whatever. So.
And Pattinson's like, fuck. Because it's so cool because it's like the lighthouse, you know, lens contraption. I'm sure there's a proper name for it. If there's any lighthouse keepers who are listening to our podcast, please feel free to hit us up on Twitter and let us know what that thing is called. But it's the lensing thing for the fire rotates and it just kind of stops in front of Pattinson, and the little door that you would use to light it opens, and Pattinson's just staring, and he starts like he reaches his hand inside, assumedly like burning his hand or
something. But
he's just like laughing and screaming, and the whole time he's like throwing his head back. And I loved what they did with this scene because they distort the sound as it goes to where it's just like, and it's this crazy noise. It almost sounds like static.
Yeah.
But they also slightly like distort the frame. So like he like throws his head. I notice this in his mouth as he throws his head back and laughs. And it's like his tongue and the roof of his mouth are almost like entirely black and entirely white, which just like it just amplifies the distortion of it. Like it's like here, he's crazy. He's gone. He's like lost it. And then he slips and he falls down the stairs of the lighthouse, just tumbles down the spiral staircase. The next shot, final shot of the film, is him lying there with like barnacles on his face and his eye ripped out, and the seagull, like it pans down to his belly and the seagulls are just ripping out his innards, and he's alive still. Like you see him breathing and he's just like sitting there lying naked, like being picked at by the same seagulls from before. Which, you know, goes into kind of what Amber brought up with this whole Promethean myth, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong on my Greek mythology, but Prometheus goes and he gets the fire and he gives it to humans, and then
he's punished.
He gets punished by, like, crows and shit eating his innards every single day forever.
Yeah. But it's also the curse that...
that Willem Dafoe puts on him earlier. Yeah,
who looked like Triton.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is funny. So, like, or Willem Dafoe curses Pattinson.
Yeah.
Because Pattinson goes on a rant and says he wants a fucking steak. And essentially, what gets pulled out of this is that Pattinson is sick of Willem Dafoe's cooking. And it's like, of all the insults, and it's funny because I think it really shows like just how fragile you could be in a situation like this. Yeah. And it shows like the fragility of these two guys is like, that's the insult that throws Dafoe for a loop. And he's like, what, you like my lobster? You like my lobster, boy? And he's just like, it doesn't. So Pattinson just stares at him angrily. And he just stands up and goes into this sea shanty long curse about may he have barnacles on his face and sink into the ocean and lose sight of who he is. And it's this long, very specific curse that ultimately results in, you know, parts of what you see at the end where he has barnacles on his face and all this other shit. And it's just like... it ends, and Pattinson's like, all right, I like your lobster. Never mind. Like, sure. And it's just kind of funny because it's like, that is it. That's like the triviality of it is so silly. It's like, I'm so sick of this.
But it kind of gave away the movie, even though we didn't, you know, we kind of took it as like, oh, he's just like an old crazy man. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's. Well, and I kind of like, I mean, I have to be honest, I'm a sucker for things like that, right? Like, Cornetto trilogy or. Our last mainstream episode with Scott Pilgrim versus the World, like that's like the Edgar Wright kind of thing, right? It's like, let me tell you what's going to happen in this movie all straight up. And like, you don't actually know I'm telling you that until we get to the end when you realize, oh shit, I remember that from the beginning. It's come back full circle. And in this, it's kind of similar. It's like a lot of the shit from the beginning. It's like, if you do this, it's bad. If you do this, it's bad. If you do this, it's bad. I'm going to say all this shit that's going to happen to you right here, right now. And like, it will happen to you. And even though as the viewer you know it's going to happen, you still kind of want to see how it's going to happen. Because as we sort of established, this movie doesn't really have any blatant mystical anything in it, right? There's no magic power that's established in this film that's actually operating. So when he's making a curse, you're not sitting here thinking, oh, he's actually invoking the gods of the ocean to do this. You're just like, okay, how is this going to pan out? Because clearly this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And it keeps you engaged just enough to where you're not really questioning it the whole time. And you just go on with the movie. All in all, though, I think this movie, like, it was a very... I have to say, I'm, like, very surprised by it. It's one of the few movies where, like, I've watched it and I've gone, man, this is really good. But, like, I got to take a break from it for a while because it was a lot.
It was a lot. Especially with the, I guess, language... Not that like it wasn't English or anything, but like it's sometimes like I have to get used to the way people like speak.
Subtitles are a must for this film.
Yes.
Yeah. Like we watched it with subtitles, yeah. So it made a lot of sense.
And then if you have any like dark blinds or blackout or whatever, yeah, like it was kind of difficult for us to see things because it's a very dark film.
Yeah, the black and white is really highly contrasted. Yeah. It's. Yeah, so, like, aesthetically, this movie's great. It really, and I mean, you don't even notice the little 4:3 aspect ratio or whatever particular it is. You don't really notice the black and white. Like, it does all of these things great, and they just add to the film and make it so enjoyable. But I will say, if you have a TV or a panel you're watching it on, I guess, in general, where you can kind of bump that backlight up, definitely bump the backlight up. Ours was all the way up, and we still had trouble seeing this movie. Mind you, we did watch it a bit in the, we watched it in, like, the day, late afternoon. But it was super, like, overcast outside. It wasn't, like, bright, sunshiny day. And we still had trouble seeing it just from, like, the little bit of light that came through our blinds. So, heads up if you're going to watch this movie. It's a little dark.
Yeah.
Aesthetically. It's dark, you know, theatrically, too. But it's also mostly dark to see. So, it was kind of tough. But then again, some of the darkest scenes are some of the scenes where they're jerking it in a shed. So, it's kind of like, you don't need to see it to know what they're doing. But, overall, Amber, what would you... Like, how do you even want to begin to approach this movie? Like, what do you rate this? Would you suggest it? And then, like, do you regret watching it in any way, shape, or form?
So, I'd probably give this an 8 out of 10 because it was pretty good, but I liked it enough, but, like, I personally, like, it's not my cup of tea.
Okay.
Like, I prefer other films over this.
Yeah.
And just after talking to a lot of other people that had seen The Lighthouse, they really did not like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I've heard... Well, we'll get to my stuff.
Okay, gotcha. But at least, like, the people I've talked to, they were just like, yeah, I just couldn't get into it. And I'm like, yeah, because you really have to, like, pay attention. And there's a lot of, like, symbolism.
Oh, yeah.
Again, there's a lot of, like, sailor mythology in it that if you aren't really familiar with that, then... Like, it, I think it, like, misses, like, the point of the film. So, to me, like, I thought it was really good because it was definitely held up by, like, the actors' performances. Like, Robert Pattinson, you came out of Twilight. Like,
oh, he came out, like, swinging.
Yeah.
My God. I'm so excited to see him in Batman now after this. Like, just
I know,
seeing what he can bring to the table. It's like,
yeah, okay, because there was a lot of emotion from, like, both actors. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the role that they played, it was... probably difficult, to be honest.
Well, considering that their entire, like, this entire movie is moved forward by two people and the
tension and not really much, like, there's background.
No, right, there's no adventure, there's no outside force really doing anything. It's the entire plot of this film is moved forward mostly by Robert Pattinson actively and then Willem Dafoe passively, but it's just between the two of them and their dynamic that's carrying this film, as opposed to something where there is a threat that we have to defeat or there's something we have to solve, or even in other horror movies where there's a monster like Freddy Krueger coming to get you. How do we stop him? How do we avoid him? Even Final Destination with like things like death chasing after you and you have to figure out how to stop it. This movie didn't have any of that. It's literally just like this character drama spun in a thriller horror way where you kind of have this, there's nothing really happening. It's just all in their heads.
Mm-hmm. But I would suggest like, people do watch it because again it's a good movie and it has really great performances,
right?
So but again, like, it might not be just like me, like, would I watch it multiple times? I'm gonna have to take a break before I come back to this because it is kind of heavy, so it might not be like everyone's cup of tea.
So would you watch this movie again out of just like pure thought, like, would you watch this movie a second time?
Yeah. Okay. I would.
Yeah, I think to jump off that question, I would too, if only because, but I do definitely need a break from it. But I definitely want to watch it just because I feel like it's totally one of those movies where you will get more out of it after. Like, when you watch it again, you'll be like, oh, holy shit. Like, you know where it's going and you know kind of
what. And you can pay attention more to, like, specific scenes.
Right. Like, that foghorn thing I mentioned earlier. It's like, looking at it now, I bet you every time that foghorn goes off, because it's not continuous the whole movie, it's only at certain points, I bet you it either is signaling him having a dream or when he's
out the trip out. Or it's like a warning or something. Right. Just like the seagull was the warning.
Right. I bet, you know what, that's probably it.
Yeah.
I mean, correct us if you know on social media, but like, I bet you that was it. It's like every time it blows, it's just like it's warning the ships out at sea. It's warning Robert Pattinson, you're about to be involved in something you don't want to be involved with. Don't fuck it up. And then every time he fucks it up, even up to when he breaks the Little Mermaid statue, like all of it. It's just, there's so much in this movie that I bet we missed, or in hindsight are looking at now going, man, it would have been nice to know that while watching it. It would have probably made it a little bit, gave it a little bit more like gravitas to the situation. I think I agree with your rating. I think this is going to be one of the few times where I'm just like, same number, 8 out of 10. Mostly because as much as this movie thematically and theatrically, or cinematically, I guess, is like a really good film, it's definitely not one of my favorites. I know there were a lot of people who suggested this movie to me who were like, this movie's so good, and some people even going so far as to be like, this is my like favorite horror movie, and or that came out recently anyway. And I was just, which thank you all, by the way, for suggesting this movie. It was very enjoyable and I liked it very much. But like at the same time, I was kind of like, it maybe it was just like a little bit of hype there to where I was like, I don't know what I'm getting into, but I know it's supposed to be good. And it was, but you know, your brain kind of tries to fill in gaps before you start seeing it. And it did make it pace a bit funky to me. Like if I were to do this, I probably would have pushed Pattinson's final day more towards the middle and kind of had more of the insanity stuff start taking place before.
Yeah, because I think there was one point where we stopped it and we were only like 30 minutes in.
Right, when they're like, he's going home. It's like 30 minutes in. Yeah,
and I was just like, like, what else is there?
For those of you guys listening, Amber just made a very like expressive, surprised face to the side like, what? Well,
I'm sure there's a meme for the expression I just made.
But yeah, so that's how I felt about it too, because I was like, wow, this is really early. And it didn't ruin the movie by any means. The pacing wasn't wrong. I wouldn't say it's like poorly paced, but it was strange because then when you start thinking about it, Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe start going crazy in the span of like maybe a week. But then again, it does kind of add to the whole like, what day is it sort of thing. Would I suggest people watch this movie? Totally. I think definitely watch this, especially since like not a lot of movies are able to come out this year. So like there were some good ones that came out the last couple of years, and this is definitely one of them. It's a pretty solid like kind of horror scary movie, especially for the season. It's a nice solid horror movie. Well, questionably horror, could be thriller, depends how you look at it, but it's scary. It'll get you, it'll make you think. So yeah, I think definitely watch it. It's the season for it. There's plenty to get out of this, especially on a couple of viewings. So I think that'll just about do it for The Lighthouse. Amber, what do we have coming down the pipeline on small screens next week?
So to finish out the Halloween countdown, we'll be going over Lovecraft Country.
That's right. We will be diving in to the Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams produced Lovecraft Country series from HBO. Season finale is the day we're recording this, so we haven't finished watching it yet. But by the time you guys are hearing this, the season finale will have already happened. We'll be talking about that one for next week. So far, it's pretty good, so here's hoping they don't screw the pooch on the season finale, but it's definitely fitting for the whole Halloween spooky countdown. And then following that, as we kind of enter into November, we are going to be taking a kind of a different take this next month on our show. We are going where no man has gone before. That's right, we are going to do our whole month devoted to Star Trek, the series, the movies, what have you. Amber here has pretty much never seen Star Trek except in very limited doses, right? So you've only seen like the Abrams movies and then episodes here and there.
Space Seed.
Yeah, so like if you go back in our like, you know, archive of episodes, yeah. We do have a commentary on Space Seed, the first episode that features Khan, and we did do Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan. But so aside from those handful of things, you had a very limited kind of almost, if I'm watching it, you've seen bits and pieces, right?
Yes.
And you didn't like grow up watching Star Trek too often?
No, I didn't.
Okay. See, I did. So we're kind of breaking down November into sort of almost like a small screens November deal, but we'll be doing a mix, kind of a mix, a blend of the two.
Yeah.
Sort of projects we have going on. We'll be breaking them down kind of by generation. So there's like the original series, there's the Next Generation, which is like Voyager and Deep Space Nine and TNG. Then you have kind of that weird in-betweener period where it is like the J.J. Abrams movies and Star Trek Enterprise, and then this sort of reboot revival with Discovery and Picard, and I guess Lower Decks maybe. So yeah, that's our No Man Has Gone Before November, where we'll be talking Star Trek the whole time, and we'll be introducing Amber to it. So you get to hear her takes, we'll have some guests come on to talk about their takes, and you'll get to hear my takes as well, just because I'm here in the room as well. So get ready for that. In the meantime, let us know if you have some of the, you know, answers to our questions on The Lighthouse, you know, or what are your thoughts on this movie? Is it horror? Is it just a thriller? Is it just a drama? What do you think about this movie? We'll be throwing some polls up on Twitter to get you guys' opinion and whatnot. Our Twitter is at SoWhatHappensN1. Also, feel free to hit us up on our website, SWHN19.com, Instagram at SoWhatHappens, or Facebook at SoWhatHappensNext. Feel free to follow us. We post posters, funny pictures, just stuff where we're talking about our shows and the episodes that we're doing. So let us know what you think of past episodes or this episode in this movie, The Lighthouse. Also, in preparation for November, if you have any singular favorite episode of any Star Trek series that's happened so far, let us know on social media, wherever. Maybe we'll add that to the list of the ones we're watching. What is an episode that you guys, of any of the series, of those Star Trek fans out there, that's the episode you show people who've never seen this show before? What's one of those that you would throw out? Let us know on social media. And until Lovecraft Country next week and No Man Has Gone Before November, I am one of your hosts, Thomas.
I'm Amber.
And this is So What Happens Next. See you guys next week. Ha 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 ha.